You're listening to Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what up? Eddie Pascal and producer Trav here in the Beat Laboratory at 1220 Harbor Bay Parkway with another episode of Upon Further Review. And like we told you guys last week, just because the Raiders aren't playing doesn't mean we're stopping. We're rocking, we're rolling. And actually, a little more on our upcoming schedule a little later on. We're headed to Mobile, so we'll have one more episode next week, our regular episode here at 1220. And then we're packing up. We're hitting the road, the mixer, the mics, the cameras, everything. We're packing up. We're headed to Alabama. We're actually headed to New Orleans first. Oh, then heading to Alabama. But we're going to have a lot of fun, and obviously we're going to have a different schedule for the couple days we're down there. But as usual, it's going to be a different episode. We're going to have a fun episode this week. Do our headlines, all that kind of stuff. And then we're just going to get in a round table. We're going to victory formation this beast, talk, chat it up, and we're going to get out of here. So that said, let's start off with our headlines. It's weird. No football moves this week, Travis, for the first time in what seems about 9 to 10 months. Business as usual. But per usual, things were happening. And by way of the Chicago Bears' loss to the mighty Philadelphia Eagles, the Silver and Black now officially have the number 24 pick, the Charles Woodson pick of the 2019 NFL Draft. So for those of you keeping track at home, because I know we have a ton of picks, a lot of picks, the Raiders will be at 4, 24, and then hopefully this weekend, if these, not San Diego Chargers, my goodness, the Dallas Cowboys lose in L.A., then we'll know where the final of those three first-round picks is. But the draft picture is slowly becoming clearer. Day by day, week by week, we're getting a better idea of we're getting a better idea of where the Raiders will pick, a clearer picture of who's going to be available at those selections. And buckle up, because it is going to be a lot of fun. We are excited. We are really gassed up. Like I said, the Senior Bowl is coming up. The Senior Bowl unveiling their rosters very slowly. The slowest burn, perhaps, of all time in terms of roster reveals. They're doing it over 2 weeks. But John Gruden, the Raiders staff, coaching the north side of things. So I'm trying to do a better job of tweeting out day by day the guys who are going to be in the north side when we get down to Mobile. But yeah, it's all slowly starting to come together. We are getting there. The offseason is definitely, we're feeling it. We're feeling the offseason a little bit. I mean, it's definitely a bummer being here, not playing football when the final eight are. Like, that sucks. That's no fun. But, you know, we're getting a clearer picture of how things are going to shake out. And we're excited, man. We've been in the lab. We got a lot of really fun, exciting things kind of coming down the pipeline in the coming days and certainly in the coming weeks. But we are going to have a blast. So, like I said, a roundtable this week. We're going to get right into it. We're going to skip all the hubbub. We're back to our usual guests and such next week. But we figure it's a crazy week of football. Let's talk about it. And who better to break it all down with than our social czar, a return visit for the great Matthew G. Walks. And before we get into it, Matty Dubs, we actually do have to ask for prayers for Kyle. As you know, he was not here last week for a personal. He went on a little trip, which is lovely. Him and his nice little girlfriend had a nice trip to Yosemite. He was scheduled to make his return, his usual Thursday appearance here on the pod, but unfortunately, he
contracted cholera while he was in Yosemite, and now he's laid up and
he's fallen ill yet again. Yes. So everyone, shout out to Raider Smiley. If you could hit Kyle up, he could use some positive words of encouragement. He's a frail man. He's very frail.
He's a delicate man.
But he's literally not well right now.
It gives you a chance to bring in podcasting silver medal, Matthew Walks.
Oh, you were going to be on here regardless.
No. I want that to be my bit.
You
want to
be your bit? Mm-hmm. So that you are just our backup choice?
Yep.
Well, I mean, you could also be the blood, the Tom Brady taking over.
Oh, that's true.
Are you going to Bledsoe KMM?
The Wally Pip. I also think it would be funny if every episode I wasn't on, you said that I would be on later, and then at the end said I was bumped for time.
The old Lindsey Buckingham.
Yes, the Matt Damon, the Lindsey Buckingham. Yeah, I think that'd be good.
That would be a good bit. So we actually, it was a lot of fun. I want to say fun because obviously you and I wish, collectively we wish we were working, but we weren't. So we were at home drinking some cold ones, watching football, as we've been known to do. In a quick order, Colts handle the Texans, Cowboys beat the Seahawks, Chargers beat the Ravens, and Eagles, we talked about this a little bit earlier, Eagles take down the Bears. And I have to say, we were very, I don't want to say Oracle-like in our chat last week, but we said, what would you do?
That's right.
If Lamar Jackson's struggling early in that game and old Joseph, I'm a champion, Flacco sitting on the sidelines. And lo and behold, that was the situation on, was that Saturday or Sunday? That was Sunday, right?
That was Sunday.
Sunday, yeah. Sunday morning.
Would you, so I got to ask you again, hindsight's 2020, would you have pulled him?
No. I got to stand by what I said on the pod last week that you can't do that to Lamar if you think he's the future. You have to give him those meaningful playoff reps. And especially in the fourth quarter, I think he proved that he maybe, you know, shook off some of the nerves a little bit, let him on a couple touchdown drives. Obviously, it wasn't enough. But Baltimore still had a chance to win that game late.
I mean, I think that the best comparison I saw for it was I saw a tweet where it was like, you know, and it's a little bit different, but saying that, hey, starting pitchers, you know, if you're a Cy Young winner, like Clayton Kershaw is a perfect example. Clayton Kershaw has a bad day at work, and granted, the playoffs and regular season are very different. He has a bad day at work. You can pull him after two innings and say, hey, you don't have the juice today. And I understand that Lamar is a young quarterback, probably a little fragile, you know, still trying to get his footing underneath him. But I would have pulled him only in the sense that he just didn't have the juice those first three quarters. And I know that Flacco lost that job because he suffered from a lack of juice for about 2.5 months. But still, I mean, I don't know. I think I would have pulled him and I would have told him. I think it's so easy to be like, look, this is one game. This is an isolated incident. We need the chance,
baby.
But
it's not, though. But it's not an isolated incident because, say, Joe comes back and wins that game, right?
Then you think you have to ride with
exactly,
Joe?
Exactly. Then all week you have to deal with Lamar and Joe. Joe or Lamar. Lamar and Joe. Joe or Lamar. And, I mean, it's not a Foles-Wentz situation where Wentz can't go. You know, it's Lamar who's healthy, who got you to the playoffs in the first place. I think it opens the door to way too many problems.
I don't know. I think I would have done it. The other thing that in watching the games that we thought about, and we talked about this a little bit with Daniel Carlson, is the end of that Eagles-Bears. Was it the Eagles-Bears game that came down the kick? It was, right? When you're coming down to that, do you ice the kicker?
They did, right?
They did.
Yeah.
They did ice him. He made the first one and then the double doink to seal their fate. But I thought about this, and I know that it worked, obviously, because the Eagles are doing their thing and they're going to play on Sunday. I don't believe in icing the kicker. I just don't. I asked Carlson about it. He said he didn't really buy it either. I guess it gives you one more chance for something to go wrong if you're the defense. But, dude, I'm not a big ice guy, whether it be Smirnoff or on the field of play.
I don't have a problem with icing the kicker. I do have a problem with icing the kicker in this decade, which is now become you wait until a millisecond before the ball is snapped before you call timeout. I don't believe in that. I think that that's pretty juvenile. Obviously, it's worked for teams in the past, backfired for other teams in the past. I think that if you're going to ice the kicker, you should have to do it before the teams are lined up to kick.
I really would be interested to see some actual concrete statistical evidence of whether or not it works, but I don't know. I don't buy it. I really don't. And I know it worked out this time, but I just don't buy it.
Well, I think the reason it worked out this time is shout out former Raider Trayvon Hester,
who
blocked this kick. And the whole imbroglio surrounding Cody Parkey after that missed field goal, the way he was booed, the way everyone tore him apart on social media, the man had the kick blocked.
Yeah.
There's a good case to be made that if Hester doesn't get his hand on that ball, that it goes through. And I'm not saying you should pin the loss on any one person, but you can't put it on Cody Parkey.
No, that's the beautifully violent, disappointing thing about football, right? Is that it's the ultimate team game. You know what I mean? It is the ultimate team game. Yes, Cody Parkey technically missed the kick, but you could make the argument, well, if the long snapper, handles his blocking assignment, or if the right guard, there's just so many moving pieces that go into this one singular moment that determines their entire season, which is great, but also really messed up.
Yeah, speaking of which, that's the title of my upcoming memoir, Beautiful and Violently Disappointing.
I get the, yeah, I'll buy it. Do I get a discount? Do I get a Family and Friends discount?
Of course you do. It's going to be an ebook, so
sure.
It'll be a PDF.
So I won't get the signed inscription?
No, I'll print out a copy and sign it for you.
Kill the trees. I love it. So before we go completely off the rails, which I know we will, let's get to the picks this weekend.
Sure.
Eddie went 3-1 last week, feeling good, feeling strong. Hopefully I can continue it up this weekend. So here we are. Starting it off, Colts Chiefs. Matty Dubs, who you got?
Give me the Colts. Give me
Producer
the Colts.
Trav?
I'll go Colts. I'm going to ride with them since I had chosen them last week.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Colts as well. I am on the record, as you know, sitting in Arrowhead. Not 2 weeks ago, I leaned over to you in the third quarter. I whispered at a pretty loud level, since whispering is not really my strong suit. I said, this team brackets the Kansas City Chiefs will not win a playoff game.
I
believe that.
I almost feel like if they were playing in the wild card round, they would be more prepared. I'm not sure a team like that, given the extra week of hype and everything like that, outside of them getting healthy, I don't know how much it helped them.
Also, I'm going to go against my usual self, saying I don't believe in comparing players to other players and all that jazz. But you look at quarterbacks last week who made their first NFL start, first playoff start.
Sure.
How they fared. Young Pat Daddy Mahomes is going to make his first playoff start. I don't know. I don't believe in that defense. I believe defense wins championships. And I certainly don't believe in the Chiefs defense. And while I do believe in young Mr. Patrick Mahomes, he's unfortunately made me a believer. I don't know. Don't buy it. Colts are as hot as anyone right now. They're scalding. They're caliente.
1-0.
Just like the takes in this room.
Yes, just like these takes. So we're all in agreement. Colts.
Yes.
That's weird. Okay, Cowboys-Rams. Who you got?
Cowboys.
Producer Trav?
Rams.
Ooh. I got the Cowboys. I got the boys. It wouldn't surprise me at all if the Rams came out and just beat them by 75
sure.
points.
Sure.
But I don't know. They can't stop the run either. Zeke runs the ball. If they feed Zeke, if they've let the big man, you know, get his Wheaties and do his thing, I don't know.
You see he's doing the two-hander now?
Oh, he's doubly
because
hungry?
Because in the playoffs, you eat double, he said.
Oh, he's...
So you do. He's both hands. Om, nom, 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 nom.
Doubly famished.
Yep.
Sure. That makes sense. What I think is the most intriguing game of the weekend, Chargers-Patriots. Who you got?
Death Taxes and the New England Patriots. I just don't see the Chargers escaping Foxborough.
Yeah, I got to go Patriots also, especially since there's going to be, 3 inches of snow?
Yeah. I'm much like you guys. My heart tells me that Phil Rivers will rise up in the 19th year of his NFL career, but you got it. I mean, until Tommy touchdown is dethroned, you got to go with Brady.
It's annoying, isn't it?
Yeah, man. It's lame. It's lame.
It is.
But at least we'll get some weather football, which is pretty cool. But in my heart of hearts, man, I can't pick against the Patriots, just not yet. And it's kind of like the Rams game a little bit, where I wouldn't be surprised if the Chargers did it, but I can't in good conscience pick. I can't do it.
I mean, that's what's exciting about the divisional round is every team is good. There's no real upset. Like even the Colts, Chiefs, even Chargers, Patriots, you can conceivably come up with a path for all of these quote-unquote underdogs to win, even on the road.
Final one, Eagles, Saints. Who you got?
Saints at home in the Dome.
Saints.
Love Drew Brees. He's going to handle business.
Wow. We're all pretty much on the same.
Yeah,
so,
the Cowboys-Rams is really the only one where we
immediately go fade these picks because there's no way we're right.
Oh, man. Well, it'll be fun.
What were the total standings?
I went 3-1. I believe you went 2-2. And I believe you also went 2-2. I got to double check on you, though. But...
I guess the Bears.
But what a weekend, and another weekend of football, arguably the best weekend of the football schedule coming up. Gonna sit on the couch. Gonna be another rainy one here.
Oof.
Papa Eddie's gotta fly up to Seattle, handle some business, but I'll be back on Saturday in time for the games. It'll be great.
Sure.
I'll be parked in my dojo watching ball just like you guys.
It's not e-thisness. You can't handle that over
unfortunately not, Matthew. This is in-person business. But I will get to see some old friends. I do love Seattle. It's a great city. I'll get to see some buddies on Friday night. But, business trip.
Sure.
before, since we have you here, Wax, I talked about this briefly, and I said we were going to go off the rails, so let's get off the rails. Instagram stories. I was telling our dear friend Lorenzo Chandler the other day. I was talking to her about this, and it's something that irks me a little bit more than it probably should. Where do you draw the limit on Instagram stories per 24 hours?
Are we talking for the brand account, or are we talking our own personal stories?
I would say the personal. Even with the brand, though, too, like, there's certain days for us. Like, if you, like, if you're in the playoffs, I mean, you can have a million, and I'll probably watch all of them if it's engaging content, right?
I think you just hit the nail on the head. Is the content engaging? If it's, does it tell a story? Is it, for instance, I recently posted a story about a very, very exciting police chase we watched in this, yeah, in the studio.
Incredible,
on a slow day.
A top tenner.
It was probably 8 or 9 slides, but I felt like each one contributed something, sure, and told a larger story as a whole. And the feedback, let me tell you,
was it good?
It was overwhelmingly positive.
Well, think, yeah, about this though.
But if the content's not there,
I think where my issue comes from is a night out with the girls or boys, whatever, you know, or, mm-hmm, you're going to a concert. Concert ones get me a lot too, where you pull it up and you know at the top they're blocked out, right? So you can see, oh, this, you know, this story is 6 slides or whatever. When you pull it up and it looks like Braille because there's so many just squeezed into the top little bar there, I don't need that.
Sure.
Unless you're Bradley Cooper, you're at the ESPYs or at the Emmys or whatever, Golden Globes. I don't need that.
Sure, sure. I think concert ones are the ones that get me because
I can't hear that.
Right. It's just, yeah.
Oh, is that Len Kravitz up there? I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
It's either Len Kravitz
or
shaky. Cardi B, yeah.
And the person who's filming it is screaming.
And then you hear this, woo!
It just ruins the song. It's like, oh my gosh, the Doobie Brothers were incredible last night. Well,
the Doobies are always incredible.
I also love just the idea of filming a concert from your phone as if you have any real intention of swiping back through and watching those videos.
Yeah, that's funny you say that. So I was... I was cleaning up my iPhone the other day because I've run out of storage. Thank you, Apple. And I was going back through and I was deleting, you know, deleting podcasts, deleting photos, you know, things of that nature. And I came across a couple videos that I had taken at the Doobie Brothers concert, funny enough.
I didn't know that.
And I mean,
ironic.
I had to delete them, and I watched them back, and I thought to myself, and I'm sitting in the upper deck, right? I mean, honestly, for being in the upper deck, you had a great, you know, a great vantage point. It was a beautiful night. The songs, the music,
sure,
the rhythm was,
sure,
just glorious. But I'm looking back on my phone, and I go, why on earth would I film this? What was my logic behind this?
Well, I can only presume you had a couple cold ones.
That's neither here nor there. Well, and frankly, none of your business. The answer is yes.
I think that's why. I think that's why.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm with you. Don't
Did you
Instagram.
Send the videos to anyone?
No, they're for my own personal archive.
See, that's even funnier. Like, if you had filmed it and sent it to your father or something and been like, hey, great show, check out this video, which is what dads often do to their sons.
Sure. My dad went to see a Pink Floyd cover band 3 or 4 months ago and sent me a grainy, pixelated, very shaky,
yeah,
video,
yeah,
of the Roger Waters wannabe, and
yeah,
I was like, I don't need that. I don't need
the
any
cover
part of
band
that.
Is even that's a whole different.
They sounded great. I mean, I don't know if they sounded,
sure,
like Pink Floyd, but they sounded. I thought they sounded nice in the, you know, crummy iPhone microphone. But
sure.
Moving on, you and I have a gentleman's. I wouldn't say bet because that's not what it is. We have a gentleman's
agreement.
Based on one Kyler Murray.
We do.
And for those of you at home, it's a quick backstory, 30 seconds. Matthew and I, along with the rest of our compadres here, we were in Kansas City, and we were at dinner, and we somehow were discussing Kyler Murray. And I think it's just a fascinating situation for him to be in. Wax, you think that he is going to end up playing pro baseball?
I do. I think, so obviously he's torn between the NFL and MLB. I think that the guaranteed money, I think the injury risk, I think the overall, not lifespan, what's the term I'm looking for? The overall
quality of a career, maybe?
Yeah, or the overall length, like the average length of a... I think all of those factors will eventually win out over time, but I do not blame him for wanting to declare for the NFL draft. I think it's a sort of a no-risk scenario just to test the waters and see. I know Cliff Kingsbury, recently named head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, said that he would take him over number one overall. So he's getting a lot of first-round buzz. So I don't see any harm in declaring for the NFL draft, but I do ultimately think he'll choose professional baseball, although I literally have zero sources or really any,
well, let's
any
be real.
Informed insight as to why he would choose that.
In terms of non-Raider stuff, we are terribly sourced.
Oh, sure.
Terribly sourced. I mean, Raider stuff, like, I feel pretty confident in the stuff that we say and, you know, being based in what's so. But non-Raider stuff, our sources are non-existent.
Yeah, I think it is important to say that we have zero information.
Yeah, there's nothing that I know that I haven't,
right.
You know, that you and I know.
We know as much as anyone who's listening to this. I still think he'll play professional baseball.
And I don't. I don't. And herein lies the greatness of this debate. I don't think that... I think that, and I'm going to sound like an old man, I think if you're 21, 22 like he is, the chance to be a quote-unquote franchise quarterback in the biggest league in the entire world, I think that's alluring. Now, if you and I sitting here at 27, we're going to do this, you and I are both in complete agreement that if it were us, I wouldn't put it on a pair of pads ever again. I would go throw 98-mile gas for the next 15 years, get $700 million in guaranteed money, see you later. I wouldn't even think twice about it. That said, you know, Mr. Murray is not you or I or producer Trav. And I think that there's something, and it sounds so, it sounds a little hokey. I think the allure, the magic of being one of those 32 guys to kind of head up a team to be the face of a franchise, I think it's gonna win out. I think it's going to win out for young Kyler, and I think he tasted the greatness with the Heisman Trophy thing, and I don't know, man. I think he's going to end up playing ball.
I guess we'll see.
I guess,
I mean, he's got Scott Boras as his agent, so I think that obviously plays a role because Scott's going to want that bag.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Tweet at us. I was really disappointed. I didn't, in my overt call out to the listeners on Twitter, I got zero feedback. So I implore you, reach out to us. Tell us what you think. Hashtag Kyler's playing baseball, Matt walks. Hashtag Kyler's playing football, Eddie Pascal.
That is the longest hashtag.
I'm just kidding. Please don't use that hashtag.
One thing, speaking of your Twitter correspondence that I've really enjoyed, mm-hmm. is your new friendship that
yes.
you struck up with Raider fan, I believe it's Raider fan 0592.
0452, I think.
0452. My apologies to Raider fan zip code, whatever it is.
It's all about engaging with the fans.
It's all about
opening up a dialogue.
And the most recent thing that you guys were chatting about is I have suggested, I'm going to start heading this movement.
Sure.
I'm going to be the commissioner of this movement in getting rid of the draft cap. I want it gone. It serves no purpose. I think it's silly and outdated, and I want it gone. My suggestion, while you get rid of that, is you replace it with a scarf, a classy scarf of obviously the team's colors. And I know Raj Goodell is gonna want his imprint on it. So you put the shield on one side. But think about this, and this is my argument, twofold: that the draft caps, one, are oftentimes ill-fitting. I think we could agree with that. I think they're kind of a goofy look, and not only are they ill-fitting, but these first day guys, the ones who end up getting their draft caps, have spent hours and thousands of dollars trying to get their fit right. They got the custom suits, they got the accessories, they got all that. The last thing that these guys want to do, I would guess, and actually we should get into this at the Senior Bowl, Travis. We should ask some of the guys. Why on earth would you want to ruin a perfectly good outfit with an ill-fitting baseball cap? Wear a scarf. Drape it over your shoulders. I don't know if anyone saw, how do you say his name? Mahershala, my guy.
Mahershala Ali.
Yeah, thank you. He wore a scarf with his tux to the Golden Globes, and it was stellar. It looked incredible. Brian May of Queen, a friend of the program, he also wore.
Brian May is a fan of the program.
A friend of the program.
Wow.
Yeah. He also wore the scarf tux combo. It's a powerful look. It's very strong, and I think it's better than a silly ball cap.
Well, you've made an impassioned case, and I think anyone listening, if they have a heart, would be moved to your cause. Again, I think the folks at New Era, who spend millions of dollars to make those hats, would probably disagree with you. The scarf is just such a Euro MLS soccer style look. I don't think it would catch on.
Well, if it wasn't
under the hot lights, the last thing you want is a scarf.
Well, keep in mind you're not draping the scarf around you for warmth.
So you're just laying it on top.
You lay it on you, yeah,
like a conquering Roman hero.
Precisely.
Sure.
Well, what would you, if you weren't going to go cap though? What would you go?
Laurels. A floral arrangement that you could wear around your head,
that would
like
be
a
nice.
Again, like a conquering Roman hero. No, I don't know. I think this comes up a lot with you and I, but I just don't have a strong opinion about this issue. I wish I had thought about it as much as you have, and I wish I had such an elegant and clever answer for you, but I simply do not.
Producer Trav, you're a big hat guy. Are you okay with the draft hat?
I like the hat idea, but the hats they always use are just awful.
Yeah, they're always terrible.
Hideous. Just give them, like, for a Raider hat, just give them the plain black with a shield.
You can even put the year on the side if you wanted to, if you really want.
That's okay. a little too much, yeah.
Okay, purist Trav.
I don't want it to say, I don't want the city outline or whatever the ridiculous stuff they've done in the past 2-3 years.
What would be the most ridiculous kind of hat if we were going to keep it a hat but not keep it a cap?
One of the,
like a
little,
fez.
The little fez, I was thinking. Or like, perhaps the hat with the propeller on it.
The Googler hat?
Yeah. The a little beret.
You know what would be nice, though, is if you – here's an idea, NFL, if you're listening, Roger Goodell. Here's an idea. The different hats, but you do a hat based on your team, right? So the Texans do a cowboy hat. You know, we would do – I don't know.
Wherever
kind of
Bruce Arians is coaching could have
do
a Kangol.
Exactly. Sure. Exactly. I think that you could have some fun with it. I really do. But
what would ours be? Like a pirate hat?
Pirate hat? Yeah.
Or maybe
yeah.
The Bucks would stake
there. Yeah, I think the Bucks.
No, but the Arians is in Tampa now, is he not? So they would have first dibs to the Kangol.
Sure. That's a good point. Again, you've thought of everything.
Well, I mean, like I guess in the logo, right? It's the old school helmet.
Oh, that's like a leatherhead. Yeah. That is a great idea.
Yeah, like a leatherhead helmet. Shout out Leatherhead, starring John Krasinski and George Clooney in theaters now.
But yeah, I don't. If you're wearing that helmet, I mean, we wore them, remember? We wore them when we were in Minnesota last year for the Super Bowl. Me, you, and Marcus Padilla, who will be joining us momentarily, actually. We dressed up in the old-timey football stuff. And
yeah, I was actually just looking at those photos
just
again.
Like sepia-toned.
Yeah.
Found them on my phone.
We paid way too much money for those pictures.
That was my first thought.
We paid way too much. I don't know if I'm comfortable saying how much we paid for those pictures, but we ended up getting two images.
You guys paid $8,000 for those.
Yes. I actually took out a mortgage on my non-existent home to pay for those images.
Sure.
But it was great. It was a good time. So, yeah, Raj Goodell, if you're listening, hit us up. We got ideas. We got them all. Thought of them all. So, I'm glad that we brought up our guy Marcus. I'm glad he came into the mix because we've worked in a new segment this off season. We're very excited about it. And for those of you who don't know, who've been living under a rock, the newest bachelor, Colton Underwood, is a Raiders legend. Plain and simple. He is spent two off seasons, I believe, with us, Travis, on the in the building here. And really great guy. It's been funny to kind of watch his rise to fame. Is that fair to say? Because when he came here, he was a converted linebacker, converted tight end, just trying to scratch and claw for a spot on the roster. And he was always so good with us. A guy who gets it, does like a ton of charity work, really good dude. But over the past couple of years, he's risen at a meteoric rate to fame and fortune. He was linked to one Ali Raisman, American hero and champion. Then was on The Bachelorette, I believe, and is now The Bachelor. And we were thinking, we put our heads together, and we're like, there's something here. I actually reached out to Colton, and he hit me back and said, I'd love to come talk with you guys. Got to wait till the show kind of concludes. But We said there's too good. We can't wait. So we will have Colton on at some point. But
that is that the first time you've mentioned that on air? Is that an exclusive?
I think it might be exclusive.
Exclusive.
I could show you the DMs, but I'm a gentleman never shares. Gentleman never tells. But we're excited to introduce, and we're going to build this segment out. We are producer Trav. We're talking about this. We're going to lighten it up. We're going to, you know, have add a little production value. But long story short, we are very pleased to debut with our senior entertainment correspondent specializing in The Bachelor. You know him as a man who heads up nearly every video type of thing on our production. The great, the Prince of Stockton, and like I said, a dear friend of mine personally, a man that I would give my life for. Here he is, the host of your Bachelor Minute, Marcus Padilla.
Thank you, Eddie, Matt Walks, Travis Braz. Thank you for welcoming me to your show here, talking about The Bachelor. I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here to tell you, give you a recap. What do you want me to do, Eddie?
I want you to, two things. One, I want you each week to come in and recap the show. But then I want to hear the spicy nuggets. Like, I want to hear your big takeaways from the episode. So,
Just to be clear with the nation here, you know, I'm not a fan of The Bachelor.
Oh, boy.
You know,
I'm watching
as, like, a TV standpoint, like, more of, like, a producer, how they produce things.
Sure.
You know, this is the off-season.
Because we are getting into more live programming, things of that nature.
Get some ideas for down the road if we do some reality shows with our team or Raider Reds.
And The Bachelor is an incredibly successful show.
It is. It's like, what, the 23rd season now?
Yeah, something like that.
I'm lost. I only watched the first two, and that was it for me. But since Colton Underwood, a former Raider who is now on The Bachelor.
He is The Bachelor.
The titular Bachelor.
Yes.
Well, he was on the season before, too, right?
He was on The Bachelorette, I believe.
Oh, The Bachelorette.
Yes.
I don't know anything about last season, but I just know this episode one, which got me a little worried about this new season of The Bachelor.
And why is that?
Not talking anything bad, with all due respect with Colton Underwood. It's just my review as an audience member.
As an impartial viewer.
I'm gonna be straight up, I mean, not a fan.
If Colton's really listening to this, I'm just not impressed.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah, I would assume. I mean, I assume
this is probably how he gets the recaps for the show.
And Brian May. I'm sure Brian May's listening as well.
I am not impressed because Colton has no personality on the show.
My goodness. Haymakers.
I mean, you would expect, like, The Bachelor be this guy, nice and charming. I mean, Colton's a nice guy, but it's just there's zero personality in this show.
Well, don't you
know?
Think it's a little
the
hard?
Whole thing
he's
is
got like 30 ladies, right?
But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, like, what's kind of saving him a little bit is that he's a virgin.
That's saving him? Well, I guess he's literally
saving himself.
He's saving his.
Well, no, like the audience. It's like it's giving them entertainment. Oh, why is this guy a virgin?
So you're saying that his abstinence, they're using it as a personality trait when it's not.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this: what are your three characteristics?
Well, don't ask me that right now.
In the perfect bachelor, like what's the three things a perfect contestant on The Bachelor needs? Handsome, right?
Number one is handsome, very attractive. Yeah. That's what The Bachelor is all about, being attractive, and they think Colton is.
Humor?
Humor.
Well, you said charming. Is that
charming,
for you, or is that
attractive?
Under
the... And then whatchamacallit? Give me another one, Eddie.
Humor?
I just say humor.
Charismatic?
Relatable?
Smart?
Intelligent.
Oh,
there you go. That's all it. Right. Those three things.
So how many of those do you think Colton has?
We haven't seen anything with, I mean, I guess he's attractive, but the two we have not seen yet in episode one. So we're going to have to wait for these next couple episodes.
Did any of the ladies stand out to you in terms of a potential match?
Potential match, but I know one lady that, like, I'm a big fan of that was being aggressive about this whole thing. Her name is Catherine. I know if there's any listeners listening to this thing right now, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Catherine is, if you watch it, she might be annoying, but, you know, throughout the whole episode, each girl has a moment with Colton. And when Catherine had her moment, You know, she did her thing. She talked for like 5-10 minutes. She was interrupted by someone else, right? Another bachelorette, you could say, another contestant. When Colton was having his moment with that other girl,
yeah,
Catherine comes in 2 minutes later. Sorry, I'm here to save you, Colton, from...
Oh, boy.
Yeah, all that stuff. And then she comes in, and then 10 minutes later, another bachelor comes in, interrupts Catherine. Catherine leaves. 2 minutes later, Catherine comes back. It just shows aggressiveness. Like, she really wants...
She wants to win. She wants, she wants to win his heart.
She's trying to play four quarters every episode.
Yeah, she's got the full port press. Yeah. Full port press going.
She could be annoying. Press, yeah. She could be annoying, but she is playing aggressive. Like, she wants Colton really bad.
You like that? You like that aggression?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you think that stood out?
I don't think that'd be a perfect match, but I like the way she's playing the game.
So are you rooting
for
her?
In a positive way.
in an entertainment way, yes.
You are?
Yeah.
Who do you, are you? Have you found any that you... So you like Catherine. Who else? Is there anyone else that you like?
I think a perfect match for Colton, if he's listening, would be Miss North Carolina. But the thing is, they were making out.
Already in the first episode?
He made out with four different girls. First episode. She's Miss North Carolina, but he calls her Miss Carolina.
So he dropped the north.
He dropped the north, so he forgot. Thing is, with Colton, he's very forgetful in this episode. There's one girl who came in.
Well, to be fair, he's met like 30 women.
30, but then, like, you know.
You feel like he should be a little more on top of his,
yes.
his business.
For a man who's supposed to break down blitz packages, you'd think that he would have a better sense of.
Exactly.
Is that what you're saying?
I just feel like in this episode, like, he just, it's like, it's scripted, right? Of course, this whole thing is scripted, but he's like, he's forgetting his lines. Of what he's going to say next.
Interesting.
Forgot the girl's name and forgot the, what the, you know, what he did 10 minutes ago with some other girl and stuff that he has to say in the show.
Yeah, it's probably not good.
So
he's struggling in the first episode. So hopefully he improves season or episode 2, 3, 4, however
forward,
long this goes. Yeah.
Did Catherine make it to the next round?
Yes, she did. The thing is, she got the final rose.
That's very dramatic.
It's so predictable with this editing of trying to make this thing entertaining.
So. I doubt she got, or maybe she did, but I'm sure the way that they present the roses is different after they chop everything up in the editing bay, right?
Yeah, I'm sure he has a top five, you know.
And how many takes do you think it took? Because that's the thing that I experienced when I was on network TV.
Probably 6 to 9 takes, probably. That,
6 to 9 takes?
Yeah,
six to nine takes.
Yeah. Sure. Why wouldn't there be that many? The things that they make you redo are not the things that you would expect them to, like walking in or saying hello again. It's
I don't think Colton has experience.
It's all fraudulent.
I don't think he has experience of doing all this stuff. This is his first time, you know, getting in front of the camera.
So, you know? If you had one piece of advice to give to Colton after episode one, what would it be?
I would say just relax. I feel like you're a little stiff out there, man. So just relax, enjoy the moments, and remember their names.
Yes.
That's it.
And there he is, our senior entertainment correspondent with a specialization in The Bachelor.
Off-season special, baby.
Marcus Padilla. So that'll do it. We'll be back next week with our usual format. We'll have a guest, the whole deal. We'll sit around. We'll talk shop. Marcus will recap episode 2 of The Bachelor. But until then, everyone have a great week and enjoy the games. We'll be watching for Eddie Pascal and Matt Walks, Marcus Padilla, engineer Jim, and a sick Kyle Martin. Hashtag prayers for Kyle. And producer Trav, here per usual. I'm Eddie Pascal, and we'll catch you guys next week on Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network.